It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Happy Sabbath, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the Ministry of Torso. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Welcome on this beautiful Sabbath day. It's time for our opening prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we come before your presence, we come with thanksgiving, we come with praise, we come thanking you for being such a wonderful God, we come blessing your name, we come honoring you, extolling you, and all of those things. We ask that your name will be glorified. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, God is good. We are now actually about to have our opening song. Let's do that. It's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
Amen. Let's pray, friends. Father, as we study the gospel in Hebrews chapter 6. We pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. As we are going to be having our worship service at 12 Eastern time, we're not having worship and wellness today. We're just having worship, and we're studying Hebrews chapter 6. Now, at the end of Hebrews 5, near the end of Hebrews 5, we read a very important verse. There are only 13 verses in Hebrews 5, and verse 12 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Okay, so that was verse 12. I'm sorry, there were 14 verses. So that was near the end. And so as chapter 6 keeps that theme going, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." So my brothers and sisters, perfection of character. God, that's really the meat of the word. You got the milk, you've got the meat. It says not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, is repentance important? Absolutely. But he's saying we're going to leave those doctrines and we're going to move on to perfection. But it says not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Jesus Christ. So faith in God, repentance, those are milk of the word. Of the doctrine of baptism, that should be milk of the word. And of laying on of hands, the fact that God has given us various gifts of the Spirit and has called men and women to work for him. And of the resurrection of the dead, you know, the resurrection, even that plus, you know, when you think about the resurrection, you can't study that unless you study the second coming of Christ. And I love that because a lot of people believe in this secret rapture, see. And the bottom line, friends, is when Jesus comes, that's when the dead are resurrected. The Bible doesn't call us to any secret rapture to focus on that. It says the doctrine of the resurrection. That deals with the second coming. And of eternal judgment. Friends, we have a decision to make, and that decision will determine our eternal destiny. And this we will do if God permit. For, this is very interesting, verses 4 through 6, for it is impossible, listen carefully, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, by faith, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. There can be a close of probation, so to speak, in your life if those five things have come to you and you have rejected God and fallen away from the truth. Now, it's not my calling to determine if those five things happen. It's not your position. You could be a preacher, but you could be a preacher that has never really tasted of the heavenly gift, okay? You could be a preacher that has not partaken of the Holy Ghost. You could be a preacher who has not tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So, a lot of people were thrust into it. A lot of people were born, oh, my daddy was a preacher, so I'm going to be a preacher. So, you know, we can't say just because a person has left the faith that they are going to be lost. But there are some who have left the faith that there's nothing we can do for them. They are going to be lost because they have had that experience with God. They have had the truth. They have had the good word of God. So be very careful. Just because you see somebody who once believed in the Sabbath, who no longer believes in the Sabbath, you can't just automatically pin them to this scenario here. That may not be them. They may not have tasted. They might have come in under fear, okay? Fear-mongering has often caused people to accept certain doctrine, and they might not have tasted the good word and the Spirit experience that. So, but the point is, God is just telling us that there are some who have had this rich experience with God, but they chose to go away from the truth. They cannot be brought back. That's what God is saying. Now, You have to understand how good God is, friends, and how wonderful this experience is. That you have to understand they would have had to pretty much say, Jesus, get out of me, and Satan, come into me. They would have had to put some grievance as more important than their eternal salvation in order for this to take place. So, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. So it likens this experience to the earth. Thinking it in. Again, this rejection of people who have rejected God permanently, this permanent rejection of people who have rejected God is likened to the actual reception of the rain. Some people sit under the rain, but they had an umbrella, so they didn't get the rain. And they might have a position, but they didn't get the rain. But it says, for those who have, it says, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So that area of the soil that bore thorns and briars, it still got the same rain, it got the same sun, but that's rejected. Just using that as an analogy. So those who have received all the gifts that God has to pour out upon us all, and then they go from there and reject the truth. See, the falling away means you once accepted the truth. That's why Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it's around verse 2, that there would be a falling away first and the man of sin. You see, the Roman Catholic Church is the apostate Christian church. That church used to be godly, okay? But they accepted little by little heathen rites and customs until it became Roman Catholic. You can read that history in Great Controversy, page 544. It says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, so we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So God commends those who are still in the truth, who are still faithful, who are still doing his will. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. Multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immortality, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the holy place had a veil, and the most holy place had a veil. Some people would say that this was Jesus going into the most holy place. Well, I will tell you this. When Jesus was resurrected, we have an example in Moses. Before Aaron was anointed and as the high priest, Moses had to go into the tabernacle, and Moses had to anoint the most holy place. He had to go into the holy place and anoint all the furniture, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the golden candlesticks, and he had to go into the second veil and anoint the Ark of the Covenant. Moses is a type of Christ. So, if this is talking about Christ going into the most holy place, that's not for his regular ministry. But this could be if it's talking about the most holy place. It didn't say which veil, but, you know, there are people that try to deny the 1844 beginning of the atonement. Say the atonement was done at the cross, that, you know, Jesus came and he was all through the most holy place, and, you know, that there's not really two compartments, that he would stay in one until 1844. They try to say all those things. But we see that there was a reason why God gave us the type in the Old Testament, where the high priest only went into the holy place until the Day of Atonement. And so my point being made is that there is a time where someone who was a type of Christ went into the most holy place, and it was right before Aaron became high priest. So Christ had to tell Mary Magdalene, "Touch me not, I have not yet ascended to my Father." It is possible that the Moses experience of going and anointing was a representation of Christ going into the most holy place at his resurrection. But then he came back down to spend 40 days with the disciples. And when he went back up, he was the high priest. And therefore, he would have stayed in the holy place ministering until the investigative judgment. So we have Bible to support that Christ could have gone into the most holy place, not to stay there and minister, but just to get the blessing, just like Moses came and anointed it because Aaron was going to do service there. Christ could have gone at his resurrection, because he did let people touch him after that. He said, "Touch me not." Then he let people touch him. That means he ascended. He came back. So we have that. You know, there's beautiful gems in the scriptures, and, you know, people try to deny the truth. And sometimes, as we read about people who have, you know, once been enlightened, tasted the good heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, he says, if they fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame, it would be impossible. They've just received too much of God's goodness. And so their rejection is such that it's permanent. My brothers and sisters, Christ is our great high priest, and he is in heaven. At this point, he is in the most holy place, because there was a Day of Atonement that where the sins were blotted out. Peter talked about it in Acts chapter 3. He said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus," that means that he's coming back, "who before was preached unto us until the times of restitution shall come." Those times of restitution are going on now. Jesus is in the most holy place pleading for each of us. Let us give him a full heart surrender today, so that we can be found worthy to have his merit continue to replace our sinfulness, my brothers and sisters, and that he will live in us through his Holy Spirit and give us perfection, and not just dealing with the milk of the word. We can be perfect in Christ. We can overcome sin, the thoughts, the urges, the words, the impatience, you see. That is what God wants from each of us. May he bless you today. Again, we're going to close out as we will be having a service at 12. We will announce that on Facebook. But God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Bless us. We honor you on this holy Sabbath day. Speak to our hearts. Give us victory over sin. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath. God bless you.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I worship the Lord.